Alright, we're in Pack Base Puzzle of Zion. So we're back with the young lad. He's reporting to Boaz about the character of this maiden, this 40-year-old maiden. A timer, and the lad is quoting her. He's quoting her words. Vatayimer, and this is what she said. So he's talking to Boaz. He's telling Boaz, this is what she said. Alakhtana, I'm asking your permission to glean. Alakta means to glean. Vasafti, Bamaram, and I want to gather in the bundles. Achriakites from behind the harvesters. Vatayimer, and she came. Vatayimer, and she stood. Meoz, at a biker. From in the morning of Arata until now, Zeshifta by his mouth. And now she went to sit in the house a little bit. The Moshe David Vali explains his pasuk. According to the Mahalach of the Medrash, it's far from complimentary. Moshe David Vali said that the young lad was saying, he was telling over an untruth. It was an untruth, it was a sheker. But this is what he was saying. He's saying that she has Grace Eigen. You know what Grace Eigen is? Grace Eigen. Big eyes. That means that she's not satisfied. So a normal impoverished person would come, and then they would collect what they need and go home and come back. But she's never satisfied.
She is Ruth?
She is referring to Ruth. She's never satisfied. She said she wants to gather among the bundles. Like, bundles are much bigger than stalks. So that means that she has high expectations for herself. She wants to gather bundles. And she starts early in the morning. And she worked the whole day because she's nervous. She has to get as much as she can. And he conveyed the impression that she was taking more than she needed. And she's always going out, you know, a normal Jewish maiden, since she has a midah of tznius, of modesty, and she doesn't display herself, but she's always out. She's always going out, and she only stays in the house a little bit. And she's not an Isha Chashuva, so don't marry her. So he's giving Boaz marriage counseling. There's a medrash on the pasuk, the part of the pasuk says Zeshif to Habayis Ma'at, that she goes into the house just a small amount. So the word small amount could be referring to the amount she spends in the house, the amount of time she spends in the house. And that's what I told you from Moshe David Vali, that he was conveying that she wasn't a modest person because she's only in the house a little bit. That's one shot in the word Ma'at. Another pshat in the word ma'at, which the Medrash says, is that she only brought a little bit into the house. Now this is going to be a slight departure from what we just said over from Rav Moshe David Vali. The Medrash will be a departure. I'll repeat what Rav Moshe David Vali said. Rav Moshe David Vali said that she has big eyes and she nefesh rechava, and she's never satisfied and she has to collect a lot. The Medrash says quite the opposite. Zeshifta Abaye, she went back to her house, Ma'at, with only a small amount of grain. The Medrash is understanding the word Ma'at is that it's referring to the amount of grain she brings back. In contrast to what I told you from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ma'at is the amount of time she's in the house. The Medrash says Ma'at is the amount of grain she brings in the house. That the young lad was telling Boaz that she's lazy. And she barely took anything. So she's getting attacked at all sides. On the one hand, she's getting attacked that she's spending so much time because it's never enough and she has to get as much as possible She has to get bundles. She has a nefesh rechava. Her spirit is never satisfied. And on the other end, he's saying she only came back with a little bit that shows that she's lazy. There's a commentary called Turi Zahav. We mentioned his words before. And the Turi Zahav said that this thing was true. She only brought back a little bit. This was true. This was true. The young lad said that the reason why she brought back a little bit was because she was lazy. That was not true. The reason why she brought back such a small amount is because she kept halachas.
What wasn't true?
The reason why she brought back so little was not true. The true reason why she brought back so little is because she kept the halachas. If 3 stalks fall to the ground, you can't pick it up. If 1 or 2 stalks fall to the ground, you could. So some of the keeps the halacha, they don't end up with very much. People that cheat get more.
Cheaters always prosper. Oh, they seem to.
And it appears that way in this world. The Turi Zahav says another pshat why she brought back so little. She had bitachon, so she didn't feel the need to take any more than a certain amount. She could have taken more, but she didn't. She has bitachon.
Like the man.
Exactly. He used the same word, but the amount of man was an omer. That's the amount of money that fell for each person. And here she said, Alakta ba'amarim. She said, I want to glean among the amarim. Use the same word. The same word for man is used here in the Pasuk of Rus. A plus.
What's the word again?
Omer.
Is that up my average?
Yes. Alakta no. All right, so now let's start talking, getting positive, okay? Remember, the Ger Shmuel takes the opposing view. He said this young lad was really praising her to Boaz, and that's why he told Boaz that she said a lakta no. The word no means please. The word no means please. Look at Shechem Peah. Gleaning in the fields is something that poor people are entitled to. It's theirs. It's called Maman Aniyim. It belongs to them. It's theirs. They don't have to ask permission to enter the field and gather in the grain. It's theirs. Ruth asked. The Ger Shmuel said that the young lad was telling Boaz this because he wanted to say that Ruth is the type of person that she has an edel in the shami. You know what edel means? Edel? Adin, gentle, right. Gentle, sensitive neshama. That even though she was entitled to take it, but she asked anyway because she couldn't take something without asking first. She never felt a sense of entitlement. She never felt that something was coming to her. Even if it was coming to her, it's the opposite. It's the polar extreme. It's the total opposite.
Also shows the quality of honesty.
Yeah.
What's the English word for Abel? Gentle?
Timid. Gentle, fine, timid. Fine, no, gentle, fine.
Refined, maybe?
Refined, a refined character. It's the opposite of coarse. Coarse in Yiddish is grubbedicke.
Truck drivers.
They're grubbedicke. Truck drivers are grubbedicke, and she was Abel. So we had one school of thought that the lad was relating her shortcomings. Another school of thought that he was praising her. And now we come to the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh said he was doing both. The pasuk says that she wanted to glean and follow the harvesters. The Elshuk understands this, that she was asking the one in charge of the field if she could glean behind the harvesters. That means that she'll help the harvesters out.
And she'll like,
she'll help
pretty,
them.
Like she'll work, but not
she'll
really
show them what they missed. Right. She'll do a little work here and there. She'll carry things for them. When she asked if she could glean behind the harvester, she was asking if she could work also. That would also explain why she said the word please. If you're looking for another reason why she said please. So another reason why she said please is because she wanted to have an unorthodox relationship.
But then you could also understand, like, but then that totally takes care of the problem. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It takes care of the problem of why her actions as a pauper don't make sense, because she was saying to herself that I'm not a poor person, I'm working. So then,
yeah, well, that's the problem. Because
she has a job to do. She's never going to stop.
Boyers couldn't figure this out. If she's a worker, workers are not allowed to glean. If a poor person comes to your field and offers to do work for you, then you have to pay them a salary. They can't pick up those two stalks that fall to the ground. If they're working, then they can't pick the two stalks up.
What if they don't make enough to split themselves?
You can't. A worker in your field is not entitled to luck it. If she's a poor person and she's entitled to the droppings in the field, so then Bayez doesn't want to have Hana. He doesn't want to benefit from the work of a poor person and not pay them. Because you're taking something for nothing. Bayez didn't want to do that. He was a tzaddik. He definitely didn't want to do that. So he didn't understand. You know, if she's gleaning, then she's not a worker. If she's a worker, she's not gleaning.
She's not really where she is a gleaner. She's thinking like it. She's doing him a favor.
He doesn't want that.
Why not?
Because you're getting enough from poor people without paying them. And if you pay them, then they can't glean.
Right.
So he was perplexed. But he had no idea what her financial circumstances were. You know? She's a skilled laborer. Maybe she has a job. How does he know? She's helping the harvesters.
She wouldn't be picking up.
This is, you know, he was perplexed. Confused, perplexed, discombobulated. And the young lad was using this, you know, he was using this to her disadvantage. He used it to denigrate her. He told Boaz, I have the answer to your kasha. I have a kasha to your quandary. I have an answer. Really, she's a poor person. Really, she's a poor person.
The red section.
But the concept of lekha chicha and the peya, chesed, the root of lekha chicha and peya is, its roots are to be found in the midah called chesed. That if you're poor, if one person's poor and another person is rich, then the rich person has to support the poor person, because Hashem gives the rich person money. And he gives the rich person money in order to support the poor person. If you have betachen, if you have hamuna, so then you didn't make your own riches. Hashem gave it to you. And Hashem gave you more than you needed, because you're supposed to help the poor people. Lekha chicha peya is rooted in chesed and a betachen. And he told Boaz, do you know why she's offering to work? Because she has a geisha cup. She doesn't have a Yiddish cup. She has a mentality of a Gentile. Mentality of a Gentile is that in order to deserve something, you have to earn it. The concept of chesed, of betachen, of emunah, lekha chicha peya, they don't exist. You want to get something for free? There's nothing for free in this world. You want to come in my field and glean? Work for it. So he was telling Boaz that she's unfit to be a wife because
she doesn't have
you
chesed.
See that she doesn't understand chesed. What was her true kavana? Was that true? Was that true about Rus?
No,
not
she
at all.
Had betachen.
What was true about Rus is that Rus couldn't take. Rus could not take.
Agayim will have to take like a chicken pan.
Yeah, vada.
Oh, okay.
Chaim could take luck. She couldn't take. Ruth is someone that she was the epitome of chesed.
So she always had to give,
but she couldn't take something for nothing. If somebody's giving her something, she has to do it in return. Not that she felt obligated, because she did understand this concept of lekha chicha peya. She knows that he, Boaz, is doing chesed to her, and it's for free. And that's the dark Hashem. But she wants to do chesed to bias for nothing also.
They were both inside. He won't do it.
Well, he did until he found out about it. She did Matan Beseser. Did he know about it? The harvesters...
Like, what do you mean, why can't she do that? He's inside. He won't take chesed. It's not really his choice. You know what I mean? Like she just did it. Like what you said, he did. She did it until he found out.
Okay, but she can't not do chesed. She can't not be giving. She can't at any time in her life be selfish. You know the famous Kasha and Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu had a bris milah, and Hashem didn't want to be matriach him in Achnasas Orchem, so Hashem made it very hot, and nobody came. And Avraham stood at the entrance of his tent, waiting for people to come, because he wanted to do chesed. He was on the third day of his bris milah. It was the most painful day. He stood there at the tent. Now, why is he standing there at the opening of the tent? There's no one coming. It's so hot. There's no one traveling. And he knew that. Because he can't not sit at the entrance of his tent. He can't not sit at the entrance of his tent. Whether people are coming or they're not coming.
That's his nature.
He can't not do everything possible in order to do chesed. Whether they come or not, that's their business. So Hashem saw that. So Hashem rewarded him by sending him Malachim. Rus can't not be a giving person. That's one pshat. Another pshat why she was helping the workers in the field. It's sort of a hidden pshat. Is that because Rus
was...
This is the Turizov. I'm sorry. This is the Turizov.
When did that start?
Chesed. The Turizov says two pshat. The one is that she had to be involved in Chesed, and the other is... Well, what type of person follows behind the harvesters and assists them when they need help? What kind of person does that? What role is she assuming?
The brother you said before wasn't all awesome.
What are your roles, Jabron?
I'll
correct it afterwards. Okay, we'll take care of it. The wife of the owner of the field would do such a thing. She would go down to the fields and see what the workers need and whether, you know, give them direction, give them assistance. And the Turi Zav says that this was a remiss. Kadosh Baruch Hu was moving her into position. Now, whether she was aware of this at the time, doubtful.
But Kadosh
Baruch Hu was putting her into position to assume the role as the mistress of the plantation. Let's go to Pasuk Ches. But Yehemah Bayez, but you said, Arus to Rus, Alay Shamat. I want you to hear. Didn't you hear, Biti? My daughter. So Bayez is calling her his daughter.
Bayez calls Rus his daughter?
Yes. She's 40 years old.
Whoever married someone that's like
well, he's 80.
Birth to them? Is that a remiss?
He's old enough to be his father.
He didn't marry her yet. Al Tech, look at Besadi Acher. Don't go to glean in any other field.
Stay here.
Begam lo sabur rizeh, and don't leave here. Sounds
redundant.
V'chay tidbakim, and you should cling. You should stick in Marasai with my maidens. Boys had a number of maidens. I don't know. Maybe there were maids that did the housework. I want you to stay and have a relationship and stick with the female employees of the plantation. What's the case? All right. So one thing you see for sure that, according to the Medrash, that this lad was trying to deter Boaz from embracing Ruth, being Makarv, or you know, making a permanent fixture to household, the lad was not successful. Boaz saw through him. It was all lies. It was lies. She wasn't lazy. She didn't lack betachin. She wasn't a copycat. She was sincere.
According to some addresses, he was trying to...
No, the Alshuk says that he wasn't saying any of this. It was just the tone of his voice. Right? The Medrash says that he was trying to defame her. It was character defamation.
But I thought the Turi Zahav said she was only doing it... he said it that she was like giving halachos.
The Turi Zahav and the Igeresh Mual say that he was praising her to Bayez.
Right.
So like I said if he was praising her to Bayez, and Bayez... saw that he was saw the light in his words. He saw he was telling the truth. If he was defaming her, so he saw that he was full of hooey. Okay. He said it was totally full of it. Okay. So Ramosha David Valley on this pasuk says the boy is called Herbiti, my daughter. Why did Boaz call her my daughter? He called her my daughter because he wanted her to know that he didn't believe a single word that this young lad said. He said, you are dear to me like a daughter. And he saw through it, and he saw her true qualities, and he called her a daughter for that purpose, to offset the attempted damage by this lad. The pasuk says he told her two things. First of all, I don't want you to go in another field. And I don't want you to leave my field. And that's redundant because once you tell her don't leave my field, she's obviously not going to go to another field. The Medrash says that there's a deeper meaning in the words of Boaz. There's two parts to Avodas Hashem. There's embracing Yiddishkeit and rejecting Avodah Zarah. And there is a middle ground. You know there is a middle ground. A Gentile can reject Avodah Zarah at the same time still not embrace Yiddishkeit. You can keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Maya.
Is there a vice versa?
Like an atheist.
No, an atheist, that's Avodah Zarah.
Can you say...
How is that Avodah Zarah?
Because he's worshipping himself.
Or science or something.
Right, that's Avodah Zarah. I'm talking about someone that worships God, but he keeps Sheva Mitzvahs instead of 613.
Can you say that...
That's the middle ground.
You say there's a guy, there's the guy that says Avodah Zarah is wrong. But can you guys, as a guy that's saying that, saying, I understand that there's a much bigger God in the world, but he's just one of the other ones?
That's a very desire.
There's not enough of this, if that's...
You said there's one thing of being...
That is a very
desire. For Goyim, if that's...
Whether it's considered a very desire.
Yeah, there's two things. There's one is giving up a desire, one is being, like, accepting Hashem. He was only accepting Hashem.
Anything that has a psul and a munah, that means there's a distortion in the reality, is in the category of a very desire. The pasuk is not talking about that. Someone that believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believes he gave the Torah, believes the Jewish people, he just is not willing to accept on himself the challenge of all 613 mitzvahs, but he keeps the seven mitzvahs, he's in the middle. Hagir Olam Haba, Hagir Gan Eden. Someone that doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu exclusively, someone that doesn't accept on himself the seven mitzvahs, will not get Olam Haba. So the Medrash says, he was telling her, don't go glean in other fields. That means you made the right choice. Don't go back to Avodah Zarah. Other fields is like Elohim Acherim. Avodah Zarah is called Acherim. Acher. Don't go to Sada Acher. Don't go to Elohim Acherim. V'gam lo tavuri mizeh, but don't leave Yiddishkeit. Don't choose to keep seven mitzvahs. Lo tavuri mizeh means zeh is... This is my God and I will glorify him. So don't go to Acher, stay with Zeh. Stick with the Zeh team. Don't go over to the Acher team, they're losers. And in the end, he told her, I want you to cling with my maidens. Cling with my maidens, the Targum says. And he was paskling for her. We always have to keep in mind that the halacha, that someone from Ammon and Moab was not allowed to be Megayer, was widespread, it was well known, well accepted. Someone from Ammon and Moab was not allowed to join into Klal Yisrael. If they convert, they can't get married. There was a machlokes whether this extended to the female members of Ammon and Moab as well. Whether all members of Ammon and Moab were not allowed to enter, including the females, or the females were exempted. And there was never any test balloons, there was never any test cases, because no one from Ammon and Moab had ever come to convert. Boaz was the Gadol HaDor, Boaz was the Pesach. Boaz paskin that a female member of Ammon and Moab could come be Kal Hashem.
They part of the Avera?
They weren't part of the Avera of being cruel.
They weren't expected to leave their houses.
The so-called Avera was in the Bnei Yisrael in the desert, and they needed food and drink, and they stopped by the boundaries of Ammon and Moab. They were met with resistance, with hostility. and without any compassion or desire to help. The womenfolk are not to be blamed for that because it's the men are the ones that go out to bring food to the desert. When Boaz told her to cling with my maidens, he was giving her a remiss. Cling with my maidens means that you're going to have the same status as my maidens. Just as my maidens are allowed to marry good Jewish boys, so you also can marry a good Jewish boy. So here's the psak. Here's the psak. When he said, Koi tidbakinim narasai, he's paskening that she's mutta lover bakar. Pasuk tes. Enayik basada, I want you to keep your eye on the field. So they walk through the field and look down. Asheg tzoron and watch what's being harvested. Balach tacharein and follow behind the harvesters. Alei tzivisius and arm, I commanded the young lads, lebilti nageik, not to bother you.
They like rape.
What?
They won't rape her.
No.
Rape? It says molest in here.
Not to drive her away. No. Oh.
Molest could just mean to bother.
Not to bother you. Not to bother. There's no reason to touch it anymore than what it says. They shouldn't get anywhere close to you. It's a mis. And if you're thirsty, v'alach d'alakelim, go to my container, the water containers. V'shasis and drink. May Asher yishavun an arim, from which the young lads draw for themselves. So he gave a full run of his plantation that she's able to help herself, make herself at home. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. It's for you. There's a commentary by the Sefer Kol Yaakov.
Kol or
Kuf Vav Lamed. The voice of Yaakov.
Who is that?
Don't know. He told Ruth to keep her eye on the field and to follow behind the harvesters. He said, but keep your eye on the field. Because secretly he told the harvesters that they should deliberately drop things near Ruth. They should drop two stalks, and they should drop another two stalks, and they should drop another two stalks, and she should have plenty. And he was afraid that if she's not looking around, so then they'll drop it and somebody else will pick it up. You know how it is. They'll drop it and someone else will pounce on it. So he told the lads to deliberately drop things near her, and then he instructed her that she should keep her eye on the ground. So that way, between the two of them, she'd get something. There's a very deep thought advanced by Rav Moshe David Vali on this pasuk. I'll give you a little hakdama. When Hashem created the world, the pasuk says, when he finished the culmination, Vayar Elokim is kol asher asa, v'nei tov ma'od, God saw. Vayar Elokim ki tov, Vayar Elokim, and God saw.
God doesn't have eyes.
God doesn't have eyes, God doesn't have to see in order for it, you know. It's almost like God checked it out. He created it, and then he looked it over, and he says, hey, this looks pretty good.
Like
I make a potato kugel and it's all really golden brown, it comes out of the oven. How does the kugel look? Take a look for yourself. Oh, it looks pretty good. God doesn't do that, he doesn't have to do that.
God's flawless.
God has no physical features or attributes. Eyesight.
Illuminated.
Eyesight. There's a power that God created. There was no such thing as eyesight before creation. Eyesight God created. Eyesight is the one faculty that a human being has that enables him to envision that there's something outside of himself. There's eyesight. I heard it from my Rebbe, Ramesha. But it's eyesight. You think
about any other animal?
There's no other sight. Animals also have eyesight. Any other of the chushim, any of the senses, there's no basis to build on any evidence from the other senses that there's something outside of oneself. You hear something.
You might be
hearing is something inside your head. Feeling something. Feeling is sometimes something in the body. I'll give you an example. Chas v'shalom, someone has a leg amputated.
They still feel
as if the limb is there. Right. Feeling is something that's felt inside the body.
I could still even itch him, even if right. it's not there. It's just
the feeling when someone comes in contact with something, he's not feeling something out of the body. He's feeling the effects that something outside of the body has on inside the body. The feeling, the sensors, the receptacles, you know. The pain receptacles, the sensors, the nerve endings are in the body. They might be ticked, they might be set off by something out of the body. But if somebody was born, you know, if someone was born in an immobile state, and he was now, you know, he just wakes up one day, can't see, can't hear, can't do anything, and he never has any knowledge of anything outside of himself, and then something pushes up against him, he will not be able to come to the conclusion that there's something outside of himself.
What?
Let's say someone never saw anything, never heard anything, never moved, never bumped into anything. All of a sudden he comes to consciousness and something presses against him. He will not be able to deduce from that there's something outside of himself.
He'll think it's something inside,
in his body. Yeah. He feels something in his body. We know that there's things outside of us, so when we feel something, somebody must be punching me, somebody must be tickling me. But that's only because we know. People itch and they can get tickled. There's no, you know, the only push, the only sense that you see something out of your body, see something beside yourself is sight. That's what sight is. Kadosh Baruch Hu created sight. Kadosh Baruch Hu created something outside of himself. Before creation there was Hashem, and then after creation there was Hashem plus something outside of Hashem, something Hashem and. When the pasuk says that Hashem saw all that he made, that's what it's referring to. It's referring to that he created things within the rules and bylaws of sight. That the world has properties as if they're outside of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's called the world exists in sight. Because of that, some people that have sight are able to create and destroy things with sight. That's the sight of Ayin Hara. Without going into this in great detail,
Hashem created the world
with the power of sight, because it's the power of sight that enables things to assume an independent existence outside of what existed until then. That's why this is a concept of Ayin Hara. A person could look at something and with his eyesight he could destroy it. A person can have an eye in taiva. A person can look at something and with his eyesight, he can make it grow. Rav Moshe David Vali said that Rus is the one that's going to bring the world to its completion. Rus, right. Rus is going to bring the world to the state that it was meant to be brought to at the time of its creation. The Tachlis HaBriya is going to be realized through Rus. Every single thing in creation is going to assume its proper role in the scheme of things. That's the purpose of redemption, that every single thing in creation should be used for the purpose it was created for. And Rus is going to be instrumental in that. That's why, and Boaz knew this. He told her, "Einayak Basada, I want you to put your eyes in the field. I want you to look at the field and I want you to see through your unique eyesight the properties of my field and its part and the perfection of this world, that the field should be used for the purpose it was created for. I want you to see it and I want your eyesight to bring that out. And I want you to, the field will be elevated spiritually by Rus looking at the field." Okay. Let's go to Pasuk Yud.
The field will be elevated spiritually by Rus looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he told her to look at the field?
Yeah, he wanted her to redeem the field with eyesight.
That's a year.
Do you know what the Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah.
But he asked Hashem to let him.
See it.
So what's the point of that?
To have some sort of understanding of it.
The Gemara says that any land that Moshe Rabbeinu saw, he wasn't able to see everything. He was only able to see the land of the seven nations, not across the Yarden. The Gemara says anything that Moshe Rabbeinu saw had Kedusha of Trumas and Maisos. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see did not have Kedusha of Trumas and Maisos.
Because the Kedusha happened just by him looking at it?
Right. Pasuk Yud Vatipol Apanah, and she fell on her face.
I guess it makes sense how he's able to kill people with his eyes also then.
Moshe killed people with his eyes?
Yeah. No? The Mitzrayim?
Rabbi Yechanan, no, Moshe killed people with his mouth.
Oh, when he said Hashem's name?
Right. Oh, Rabbi Yechanan, but Rabbi Yechanan killed people with his eyes. They turned into Gal Shalat Samus.
Oh,
That's what you mean.
Someone shot lasers from their eyes. That wasn't Superman.
That wasn't lasers. Oh. It's that he looked at the person.
And the
lack of respect that this Talmud had for his Rebbe, so that means Rabbi Yechanan looked at him like he was a bag of bones. He said, someone that could do that, it's just a bag of bones. And he looked at him as if he's a bag of bones.
And
then it became Rabbi Yechanan's perception of him.
Wow.
That means you can create what you see. If you look at someone that he's a Talmud Chacham, and that's how you look at him, or you look at someone that he's a sponge absorbing wisdom, so then that's what he is.
That's been TJ Rabbeinu so special. They see every kid here.
We all see the good in the people, right?
If you saw us as bums, then you leave us as bums.
And then guys would stay bums.
And then go back after Shana Aleph.
Or whatever.
Okay, whatever.
Just see that you're true. Ayin Tova. The Mishnah said Ayin Tova is the best attribute that anyone could ever have. Because if you have an Ayin Tova, then everyone around you is blessed.
If you think good of everyone, then the world is a beautiful place.
And people get better because of it. That's the Chiddush. If you look at someone with a good eye, then you bring that out, the goodness. And the, you know, if you see the bad in people, then that's what's brought out. Vatipol Apanah, she fell on her face, Vatishtachu Arts, and she bowed down to the ground. Vatayimei Elav, she said to him, why did I find favor in your eyes? Laki Reini. And you deal with me like you recognize me. Laki Reini, like you're mocking me, you recognize me. Like we're all, like we have like a pre-existing relationship. I'm strange. I am strange. The Targum says that she was telling back to Boaz, I'm also to come into Klal Yisrael. I'm strange. I'm from Ammon and Moav. Ammon and Moav, even
who
if
says this?
The Targum. Even if I convert, I can't marry anyone. That was her impression. So why are you being makar of me when no Jewish person in their right mind would ever marry me? So she was taking the other shita. You know, Boaz was paskening that she's mutter lavo bakal, and she was saying, I don't understand. No, I'm usher lavo bakal. I'm from Tumah. I'm from Ammon and Moav. Even if I'm Megayer, I can't get married, but I still want to be Megayer. So there's a halakhic debate going on here. And she's asking, Matzatzichem, why did I find favor in your eyes?
The
pasuk says about Ammon and Moav, Loitidraish Shleimam V'Tayvasam, you're not supposed to seek their peace or their good. That not only can they not convert, not only can they not marry into Klal Yisrael, but you're not supposed to make alliances with them. You're not supposed to be of assistance to them. So she's asking two things. First of all, why are you being makar of me as if I can get married? I can't get married. And second of all, why are you being so nice to me? You're not allowed to be nice to someone from Ammon and Moav. And she understood, even if I convert, you can't be nice to me. Both things, that you can't marry a Jewish person, and you can't act in a benevolent manner. It's even if she's Jewish, you can't, because she's from Ammon and Moav. And Boaz answered her back, you're wondering why I'm being so kind and benevolent to you. He said, because you're wrong. You're allowed to convert, and you're allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, because you're a female. And therefore, I'm allowed to be kind to you because one thing is dependent on the other. Both psukim, lo yavoi bekal Hashem and lo tidrash shleima b'tevasam, they are dependent on one another. you can convert so I can be kind to you. It's the one the Pasuk Yud Aleph.
Only the Targum on that one?
What?
We only did the Targum on that one?
Yeah.
Why did she think that if she converts that they can't be nice to
her? It's a halacha.
It's two different psukim.
What's the
Vayan Bayez. And Bayez answered Vayamala. And he told her, Hugaid Hugad. It was told, it was told. Hey. Hugaid Hugad. It was told, it was told. Why does it say that twice? Lee, to me, Kol Asher Asisis Chamaseg, all that you did with your mother-in-law. Acharei Mosi Sheikh, after your husband died. He's calling Machlein her husband. He's calling Nami her mother-in-law. Batazvi Avich Vimeik, and you forsook
your parents,
your father and your mother. Beretz Malata Teich, and lay in the birth. Batilchi Alami, you went to a nation of Asher Le'yadat, which you didn't know. Tzmol Shel Shom, from yesterday and from the day before. Boyez told, Ramesha David Vali says an interesting thing here. He said, you are asking me, how come I'm embracing you, bringing you close if you're from Amon Amav? That's the reason why. Because I saw that you rejected them, Be'emes. I saw that you embraced Klal Yisrael, Be'emes. I saw that there was sincerity, that there was truth. And he rejected everything that you had held dear and familiar. And the emes is nicker. The emes is bailet. The emes is projecting from you. Rav Moshe Dabar Vali says the four words, Asher lo yadata tmol. Asher lo yadata tmol. The Rosh Tevis is Aleph Lamed Yud Tav. If you take the gematria of Aleph Lamed Yud Tav, you get 441. Is the same gematria as the word emes. So I love you because you're emes. That's a Asher lo yadata tmol. She's answering her. I love you because you're emes. On this pasuk, there's a targum. The Targum comments on why Boaz said, Hugaid Hugad, it was told, it was told. Why did Boaz repeat it? Boaz, he was referring to two things. Number one, he said, the first time it says Hugaid, he's referring to the sugya and learning. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed me with the emes. He said, I worked on the sugya, I harvested on it, I immersed myself in the waters of Torah, I was an Alma B'Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed me with Haggadah number one, that the halacha is that Nekevus, female members of Amon and Moav, are allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. That's the first Hugaid. And that I got from Amelus B'Torah. The second Hugad is that I had a nevuah. I had a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the kings of Klal Yisrael are going to come out from you. That the Nevi'im, prophets of Klal Yisrael are going to come out of you. And they're coming out of you because of the chesed you did with Nami. Chesed is rewarded. The unselfish chesed, the dedication you showed to Nami in reward for that, you're going to give birth to kings and prophets. So the first message was through Chachma, and the second one was through Nevuah. But this Nevuah was only to a personal Nevuah. The halacha is going to be publicized, but the Nevuah was personal.
So he told her about the Nevuah?
He told her the Nevuah, but says, who got
me? Why didn't he marry her then?
The halacha that a female member of Amon Amayev could join. But so the first one says, Hugad. Hugad means it was told. And everyone's going to know about that. But the second one says, Hugad Li. I had a personal, private Nevuah only to me. That the destiny of Klal Yisrael was going to come from you. Hugad Li. And he understood that he's supposed to marry her. I mean, he was able to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Do it then.
And that's a love story.
That is a love story.
Because they both love Hashem.
There's one more thing on this pasuk. Boy is told, Rus, that you came to a nation, Ashalayadat, you didn't know. You came to a nation you didn't know. Reb Shlaima Akubit said that Boaz was telling her, you came to a nation even though you didn't know. What is it that she didn't know?
She's gonna make it. She's
you gonna didn't know that you're allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. You thought you could not marry into Klal Yisrael, you still came. That itself is a reason for me to makarv you. You came even though you didn't know the halacha that you're allowed to get married. But you're wrong, Rus. You could get married.
So she discovered after she married Malchon, she could marry?
Yes. Yeah, so